This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com.
I'm Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm John Williams.
And with us this week, we have a special guest, Lou Schuler.
Dr. John Berardi.
One-on-one with Craig Ballantyne.
One-on-one interview with Bill Hartman.
I'm Eric Cressy.
We can't forget our shakes this week.
It's a hell of a super shake.
Yeah, let's start off with this week's news. Need any updates for the FitCast to get the show notes with all the links for the show, just go to thefitcast.com for all your FitCast needs.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast, FitCast episode number 36. My name's Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm John Williams. We're alone today, just you and I, old school.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been a couple weeks since I've done a show with John, so it's great to have him back. It was his birthday recently, so happy birthday to John.
Thanks. I appreciate it. 35 years old.
35. That's like a milestone, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, getting towards the top of the hill, or if not the top of the hill.
Oh, come on, man. I think people are going to be living to 100 in our generation. I mean, with science and focusing on nutrition and such.
That's right. It is a milestone in the sense that I heard this of this study about music, and apparently you're supposed to be at the age of 35. That's it. You don't like any new music. You only like the stuff that you grew up with. Mm-hmm. So,
well,
now I'm just going to be like some old curmudgeon who hates all new music and I only listen to the Dead Milkmen and all this. Red Hot Chili Peppers, the stuff I grew up with in high school.
Yeah, man, to be honest, though, nothing really has been that intriguing to me in the last couple of years. It's been pretty much the same stuff. it seems like, I mean, there's a CD here and there, but not too much in my interest, but I think that's a little off topic.
Yeah, it's a little tea. But speaking of on topic, did you hear a dog barking in the background?
Yeah, well, Macy had to make an appearance.
Well, actually, we got another dog.
Oh, really?
There's a puppy running around the house right now, and she's making some noise in the other room, two rooms away. Oh. I thought she might be able to pick it up. So, yeah, Jordan's our new dog.
What kind of dog?
She's a little golden.
Awesome.
Golden retriever. Yep, keeping Macy busy. So, keeping us busy, that's for sure. That was Sarah's birthday present.
Oh, very cool.
So cool. But that sort of leads into an article that you picked up for later.
Absolutely.
So after the news, we'll get into the news.
I know, that's always confusing. People, I don't know if they get confused with the FitCast news and the regular news, but I don't know. Anyway, with the FitCast news, just want to start off that Kurt Wolf was the winner of our newsletter contest for a t-shirt. The question for the newsletter was, according to Alan Cosgrove, what is a great product not to be mixed with anything? And of course it's Greens Plus. So I think we had about 120 people enter that contest, so I'm glad that you guys are checking out the newsletter and reading it.
Nice.
But Kurt, I'll be sending you an email, and you will be getting a FitCast t-shirt, and they are pretty sweet, as you might see from the pictures on thefitcast.com. So it's definitely something worth wearing around.
Yeah, very nice. I saw you modeling the hoodie on your new icon there. So
hoodies are so comfortable, and I can't thank JD enough, the guy that printed up the sweatshirts and the t-shirts. I mean, nicest thing that I've ever had someone do for me, so... but John, I'm hoping we get a picture of you with a sweatshirt and a t-shirt pretty soon.
Nice.
Just sent them out to you. So
awesome.
Should be getting
them
shortly.
Can't wait.
but anyways, for our deals this week, I just want to do a quick mention. Actually, it's related to our, contest question. That's Greens Plus is on sale on Amazon.com for $27. It's usually like $31.99. So it's a couple dollars off, and I know people still like to get their Greens Plus in whenever they can. So, they should still be a sponsor for us the moment we still talk about them. But
I know. Still plugging them.
I mean, come
but
on.
But what doesn't Amazon carry? They're crazy. They carry everything. They're sort of taking over the internet these days.
Yeah, I even bought my foam roller from them, too.
Yep, foam roller. And I used to do all my electronic shopping at like ProVantage, and there are a couple other sites. But man, nowadays Amazon's got them all beat in prices.
Well, what's great too is another insider deal is that on Amazon.com they have all of VitaminShops.com's products, but they have them usually for about 10% cheaper.
Nice.
Or more. So I usually go there whenever I pick up my Greens Plus or anything that I would normally get at Vitamin Shop. It's usually pretty cheap. So
nice.
And lastly, I got a couple emails about people wondering about the status of my EDT training, which, as many of you know, you heard the Charles Staley interview from last week. So you know what EDT is all about right now, and it is kicking my ass. I haven't had a more intense workout in my life, and I just leave the gym just wanting to go back to bed every morning. And due to having classes, I can't do that currently. But
EDT in the summer, and it was the same way. Heard a couple summers ago. Thank goodness I wasn't teaching at that time, because you know I would sleep in till like 10. It was awesome.
Oh.
And then go to the gym for a couple hours and come home and take a nap.
it is absolutely nuts. And Charles Staley, you're crazy. I used to think that Alan and Craig Ballantyne were the real hardcore fat loss nuts, but with his fat loss workout, well, I mean, Alan did contribute to the article, but in the fat loss program that he did, it's actually my first real program since getting my surgery. So it's amazing. So
very cool.
I'll keep you guys posted, but it's making me really tired, and it's 10 o'clock at night right now for me, and I'm ready to go to bed.
Oh, I got an update too. 5 more pounds, so I'm up 10 pounds.
Holy
so
crap!
Doing good on that. Yeah, muscle memory, I guess. It's been about 4 weeks, hasn't it?
Wow.
Yeah, it's been 4 weeks since I started the program, so I'm just sort of doing a customized program.
That's not bad.
Now I'll probably taper off. Well, not taper off, but it'll come on more slowly at this point. I hope to get up back to about 190, though. Right now I'm at 175, so on my way.
Absolutely, man. And
we should make it a FitCast challenge. We keep talking about that, how we're going to do a bulking challenge and a fat loss challenge, but definitely need to make this into a challenge.
Yeah, we should definitely get on the bulking challenge right before the summer comes. We can do a fat loss one right before the summer, because everyone's got to get the ripped abs for the beach.
Exactly.
And the calves and the biceps and all that good stuff. Alan actually made a great point in the Insider's interview where he sets up his workouts with some of his clients, these two college guys, where in the winter they're just going all out, just trying to put on mass. And once they get to spring, he works on the calves. And then when he gets to summer, he starts working on their arms and their chest and their abdominals, just because it's like, because you start taking off your shirt and you start wearing shorts. So very cool analogy. But anyways, I think that'll pretty much wrap it up for FitCast related news. Let's start off the news music and jump into the
real news.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's do it. Our first story this week comes from BBC.com, their news section, and it's called
This is nuts. I'm going to go find some duct tape.
Well, I mean, I think we can keep rolling.
Speaking of dogs,
this is all about dogs. It's actually titled Dog Owners Lead to Healthier Lives. And basically, a psychologist from Queen's University in Belfast said that dog owners tend to have lower blood pressure and lower cholesterol. There was also the suggestion that dogs could aid recovery from serious illness such as heart attacks and act as early warnings to detect an approaching epileptic seizure, which I thought was really cool. And it's just another sign that dog is man's best friend, I guess. And they actually made a point to say that there was a huge difference between the effect of dogs and the effect of cats.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty funny. Cats don't provide any health benefits, I guess.
No, so get rid of the cats and adopt a couple dogs.
Although I don't, yeah, puppies are another matter. Yeah. Right, I'm about to have a seizure for listening to my dog bark in the other room.
Yeah, except for the cleanup of the puppies. I guess that can definitely raise the blood pressure. I don't know about the cholesterol. I hope not. But yeah. Maybe you should buy a 1 or 2 year old dog if you're having some suggestive heart problems or health problems in general. So,
yeah, there we go. So get a dog. They make you feel better.
Yeah, it's something that also they said helps with parents whose children go off to college or just leave the household. So if you might be one of those parents or one of those adults, this might be a great idea to pick up a dog and have some companionship. I know my mom is all about my dog, Riley, and they hang out together all the time when I'm not there. So that's just another reason. So very cool article.
Yeah, nice. And I found a pretty cool article, too, in the New Yorker. It's a long one, but I thought it was really well written, really informative, and gives you a sort of historic view of our height patterns. The article is called "The Height Gap: Why Europeans Are Getting Taller and Taller and Americans Aren't." I gotta go fix this dog situation. Okay. I can't even concentrate. Hold on one sec. Sorry, Kevin.
All right. I have two options right here. I can either use this as some time to talk to you guys about something, or we can just have some dead air. But you know what? In the sense that we'll just say this is a live show, so let me talk about some other stuff that just happens to be on my mind. If you go to tnation.com, for you guys, this is going to be somewhat old, but at tnation.com, Michael Roussel is doing a really cool challenge called the Hard Gainers Challenge. So that's definitely something to check out if you want to see what he's doing with that. And also, Charles Staley has a new article on there called Building On, which focuses on some of the EDT principles. And also, Chris Sugart is doing a project all about Surge where they're recommending using 2 servings of Surge instead of 1 and seeing if the extra carbs has a negative effect. But in his trial, at least, he found that he had a positive effect with increased recovery and no increase in fat. So that's definitely something that's very cool. And also, Chris Alkin did a whole summary of John Berardi's G-Flex seminar, which is really cool. May help you understand the whole discussion of G-Flex. But I think John's back with us.
Yeah, it's a zoo in this house, man.
Yeah, I did this as the live radio thing, so I just tried to make sure there was no dead air.
Well, you know, I go in the other room, and the dog's barking up the stairs, and American Idol is turned up full blast on my surround sound speakers, and there's some bozo singing falsetto, and I'm just like, what the hell? Where is everybody? Why is the dog barking? Oh, why God. Is American Idol on? All right.
Where were we? Oh, this is the FitCast, folks.
That's John's house. It seems to always go crazy in my house. All right, so the New Yorker article, The Height Gap. Basically, it's exploring why Americans are not the tallest people in the world anymore. We are, you know, still one of the wealthiest nations, but apparently wealth doesn't equate to height and stature anymore. It's a really good article. I would recommend that everybody read it. It reads really well. But you know, those New Yorker's articles are extremely long. Mm-hmm. But it basically is a story of a professor at the University of Munich, John Komlos, who has studied over several years historical records of people's height. He's a shorter guy himself, only stands 5'4", I think, is what they said in the article. And he attributes that to malnutrition when he was younger. His parents were fleeing the Nazis during World War II. He was hungry a lot of the time. Eventually did make it to America, but they were poor Hungarian immigrants, and he still didn't have a lot of food. And this is probably giving some insight as to why Americans are no longer the tallest people in the world. It probably has to do with nutrition, at least to some extent. Mm-hmm. So the article's going on, and it says, biologists say that we can achieve our stature, that we achieve our stature in three spurts, three growth spurts. The first in infancy, the second between the ages of 6 and 8, and the last in adolescence. I thought that was kind of a neat fact that I didn't really know. And during that time, you can grow normally during that time with a normal diet, but you take away any one of the 45 or 50 essential nutrients that we need, and the body stops growing, or at least it stunts the growth. Also, another neat little fact is that iodine deficiency alone during these growth spurts can drop 15 IQ points off of the person. It's kind of frightening, huh?
Absolutely.
So what it shows is that up to the 1950s, America was the American people were the tallest in the world. America had been so healthy and prosperous that Americans were about 4 inches taller than the Dutch throughout most of the 19th century. However, after the 1950s, over the last 50 years or so, by most indicators, to economists, the country remained the richest in the world. America was still the richest country in the world, but our height has been dropping. So what's going on? Well, to make a long story short, don't want to go on forever on this article, but basically they attribute it to poor nutrition. Obviously, we're not starving. One of the things that the article perhaps went overboard with was trying to show how they're there's a gap between the rich and the poor, and that typically will cause a country to decline in their stature, or their height will go down. I think conditions are a little different now, though, than they were in the previous centuries when this was true. You know, when there was a gap between the rich and poor in Europe, hundreds of years ago, the poor just didn't have enough food, period. While these days the poor in America and other places, primarily America, have plenty of food, plenty of calories, an abundance of calories, but a lack of nutrients. I think it's this lack of nutrients in both the poor and the rich and the middle class that is causing the stunting of the growth, particularly during these important three phases during our youth. And in fact, they did study American stature divided by race, divided by income levels, and try to divide it all down to see if anyone was taller than other folks, if any class level was taller than other class levels. And it's just not true. Americans are just getting shorter and shorter because we're eating a bunch of crap compared to Europeans, apparently, compared to the Northern Europeans who, you know, still apparently eat enough essential nutrients that they are able to grow a lot taller than we are. I think it's just, it's pathetic, to tell you the truth. It's pathetic that we're the richest nation, but we treat ourselves so poorly that, you know, that our stature is actually declining.
Yeah, this is somewhat depressing. you know, to be honest, one thing that I thought that they might have factored in, but they didn't, was physical activity too, because some of the things that I've read in the past is that physical activity can definitely, in early childhood, and during those times of growth spurts, can affect your overall height when you get older. So I think that may have something to do with it as well, because as much as people are eating crap these days, they're also sitting on their asses and not doing much. So it's scary, and I guess we're going to have less Americans in the NBA. But, I don't know what to say about this.
When I first started reading the article, I was like, oh, this is too simplistic, because, you know, I've studied stature in the Paleolithic, and these folks were really tall at certain times when there was a food abundance. But it also has to do with climate. Like, Neanderthals were very healthy for the most part. Some of them weren't, but you get healthy groups in Neanderthals that didn't get much beyond 5'4" for an adult male. But it wasn't because they were malnourished. It was because they were adapted to hyperarctic conditions, and people and animals who live in arctic conditions typically are barrel-chested, thick, and short and stocky. But the article actually covered that in some detail, and it's true what they said, that all humans on the Earth today are so technologically advanced that they are sort of separated from their environment. That's why the Danish and Northern Europeans are able to grow so tall. They obviously aren't out, you know, with capes on, you know, spearing animals anymore. We have heated homes, and so they took most of the conditions under consideration. I thought they did a really good job with the article.
I'm wondering if this is something that Americans are actually going to be concerned about, or if they're even going to just not care about it.
Just don't give a crap.
Yeah, I really don't think they do.
Yeah. I mean, what's a couple inches? Who cares?
Exactly, but it really is a big deal. It's just our country is so screwed right now. which brings me into the very uplifting next article, which is about marketing and people believing in marketing hype, in a sense. But it's called "In Live Food Bacteria, Food Makers See a Bonanza." This is from the New York Times. And in the year since the Danon company introduced Activa, which many of you know is a line of yogurt with special live bacteria that are marketed as aiding in regularity, sales in the United States stores have soared well past the $100 million mark, a milestone that only a small percentage of new food reaches every year. And it's all about the probiotic foods that have been popular in Europe and Asia for decades. And this is just the foods that contain the active bacteria, as I understand it. And in fact, Activa, which is the brand that we just talked about, has been sold overseas since 1987, but it's just recently has come here. But there are challenges in replicating that success in the United States, according to an American public that eats far less yogurt than Europeans, and a culture that has traditionally relied on, focus on this, pills rather than food and natural remedies to remain healthy. This is everyone going for the pills for fat weight loss, pills for even for muscle gain, whatever they want to go for their antioxidants. And also TCBY, who many of you may know for their ice creams in your shopping malls, sells probiotic frozen yogurt even. And Stonyfield Farm is introducing a dairy-based a dairy-based energy drink called Shift with probiotics as well, which I can't wait for, so I can have caffeine and I can shit faster at the same time. I thought that's what coffee was for.
That's right. But yeah, it's kind of crazy. When I was in Portugal, my favorite little snack was, I think it was this Activa stuff, but it was in a different form in Portugal. And it was a little yogurt with like some oat bran stuff on top of it. It tasted awesome. I loved it. But you can't put probiotics in everything. You can, I guess, but it's not
They're
a big
trying
deal.
To.
You know, eat your yogurt occasionally and you'll be fine. I've tried different pill forms of probiotics in the past and as a digestive aid, and it just really doesn't help me out. I don't see any big deal with it. So, another fad.
Yeah, to corporate America.
Although, you know, the next news story is kind of uplifting.
Oh, absolutely.
In a twisted way. It shows that now since grocery stores and pharmacies are locking up the pseudoephedrine behind the counters so that meth freaks can't get their hands on it, the new biggest thing to shoplift besides these cough medicines is meat. Apparently, good cuts of steaks are in high demand for shoplifters, and grocery stores across the nation are reporting record high levels of shoplifting steaks.
I love this story so much.
It's just kind of weird, and it just gets better because it's not, you know, who you might think would be shoplifting. It's not the stereotypical shoplifter. It's actually gainfully employed women between the ages of 35 and 54, according to a 2005 University of Florida study. Wow. So that's kind of crazy. Now that you can't get pseudoephedrine, now that the methamphetamine labs are kind of being shut down, stakes are in big demand. Who would have knew? Who would have known it?
Yeah. I mean, wow. This article blew me away. I thought this was a joke, to be honest, when you emailed it to me. And
it looks like an Onion article.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. And I don't know. This is another high point for America, I guess. But at least they're stealing meat and not like Skittles. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is kind of promising. That's
nice lean cuts of meat. I mean,
yeah. Store detectives speculate that these meat lifters feel entitled to have steak instead of hamburger on occasion as a reward for their hard work, despite being an expensive bottle of dish soap doesn't provide the same sense of satisfaction. I like how they're interviewing the store detectives and they're giving their psychological breakdown of shoplifters.
I love this article so much. This is my favorite article ever on the show. I'm saying that right now. I love this article so much.
How do you get it out of the shop? You know, I've never even thought about stealing.
Think about where you're going to put it.
A hunk of steak.
That's got to be cold down there. If you're thinking where I'm thinking. Or I guess you could always do, like, if you've seen, I don't know what, oh, no, it was, I think it was Animal House where he goes into the store and he tucks in his shirt and he puts all the meat in his shirt, all the different cuts of meat, and he walks up to the cash register and like buys a pack of gum with all the obvious meat in his shirt.
It's insane. How do you decide to steal a cut of meat? It's insane.
Wow, this is the best show ever. This episode. So, I think that's
good times.
I think that's about time to wrap it up.
Yeah. It's the coup de grace.
But before we go, as always, got a huge thank you to Craig Ballantyne and TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. And also, he has the new TTMembers.com site that, by the time you listen to this, is probably up and running. So that's definitely something to check out. He's doing some very cool stuff over there. So maybe we'll have him on in a future show just to talk about that briefly and to answer some of your questions. But
yep. Thanks, Craig.
Yeah, absolutely. But John, do you have anything else before we go?
That should do it. Kaiser, yeah, get a little bit of news. Kaiser's coming down to visit me. Our good friend Kaiser,
nice.
From JP Fitness Forums.
From episode
he's
one.
He's coming down. Yeah, episode one. Kaiser held it down for the first episode of the FitCast, but he's coming in to ski, actually. I'm going to meet him up at Breckenridge, so.
Very good.
Good times on the way.
Yeah, well, I guess, like we said, that will pretty much wrap it up for this week's episode of the FitCast. FitCast episode number 36. My name is Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm John Williams.
Take care and go steal some meat. See you next time. I am just the alien. I just sit from the back. Open it. Wow, that was such a great article.
You know what? You should close this episode with Jane's Addiction. Got caught stealing that song. You ever heard that?
We can only play 5 seconds of it, though. Or
yeah,
we have to pay for it.
Wait, do 5 seconds of it. Just that little clip.
Okay.
if
I'm
going
to have to download that.
legally, of course.
Oh, of course. I'll do my best.
We don't promote any sort of pirating on this show.
No, honestly, that was probably the most fun I've had with the show, and I say that like every episode, but that was so funny. I'll close the show with that, and then I'll get the audio clip from Animal House when he goes up to the register.
Nice.
And the it was Animal House, wasn't it? I think it was Animal House. I'll figure it out. Yeah, it was Animal House. All right, I'll figure it out. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think it was.